Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 50. I'm Jerry Iverson with my guest, Joyce Earth Mama Rouse. A bit of Earth Mama's arrangement of the classic Simple Gifts, also known as 'Tis a Gift to Be Simple, the theme song of the Voluntary Simplicity Movement, has been the opening music for Simple Living Works podcast from the beginning. When I was in charge of Alternative's mail order and online bookstore, we offered several of Earth Mama's music CDs, and she permitted us to include her song, Enough is as Good as a Feast, in our collection, Stories and Songs of Simple Living. Links to her intro to the book, as well as the audio of the song and the lyrics, are in the show notes. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. Earth Mama's music is fun, diverse, thoughtful, and enjoyed by all ages, while teaching important concepts about sustainability, recycling, and eco-spirituality. Earth Mama music taps into the balanced brain learning for humor, creativity, and deeper memory. These CDs play in classrooms, retreat centers, and a wide variety of other venues, encouraging awareness of sacred ecology and simple living. Joyce Earth Mama Rouse is a singer, songwriter, actor, educator, and creator of the Earth Mama Music Projects. She addresses the critical issues facing our planet, as inspired by her love of Earth and by her master's degree in Earth Literacy. She brings an integrated worldview to audiences in the language of music, rhythm, and laughter. Her songs are heard worldwide through broadcast media, at Earth Mama concerts, and on her 10 CDs, now played on 6 continents. Her songs have been used extensively in educational venues and by international environmental and peace organizations such as the United Nations, UNESCO, and International Earth Charter, as well as the Smithsonian Institution. In August 1995, the United States celebrated the 75th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which granted women the right to vote. Joyce wrote and performed the theme song, Standing on the Shoulders. This song has introduced Joyce to the gracious wisdom and power of women's groups around the world. A music video of the song can be seen at earthmama.org. She performs regularly at a wide variety of venues, anywhere people who care about the earth gather. She weaves threads of science, spirit, and art into each concert and continues to write inspiring music in many styles with one goal in mind, helping heal the planet one song at a time. Earth Mama creates music in a variety of styles. Some are pop, some are bluesy, some are jazzy. She might even surprise you with a little bossa nova, tango, or world music rhythms. Her lyrics are diverse too, ranging from reverent to informative to downright funny. But here are some things you can count on in every Earth Mama song. Melodies you can hum or sing along with. Professional recordings made with top musicians in the finest studios. Lyrics that mean something. Lyrics you can hear. Lyrics you can listen to with your children or grandmother without being embarrassed.
'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. When we find ourselves in the place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight.
I've seen recently that you have contributed some songs to the four sessions of a curriculum on climate change. Can you tell us about that, please?
This group of organizations, primarily women religious, called the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center, located in Seattle, but working with a lot of different organizations, put together just an incredible climate change study called Our Call to Conversion. And after I had read thoroughly through it, I was so impressed by both the science and the spirit and the honoring of culture in it that I knew one of the sisters involved and contacted her and asked if they would be interested in hearing some musical resources to go with this. And they invited me to submit them, even though the lessons themselves are very comprehensive and will take an hour or so to do as a study for a congregation or a Sunday school class or faith community, probably, but not necessarily so. And they accepted the entire list, so we have put up a specific web page on our website that links to all of those songs and tells which one of the four sessions they should be played with or can be played with. And because time is so limited for all of us, we suggest that people might want to, if they don't already have the CD, purchase the songs through iTunes or CD Baby or my website and use them during gathering social period before or after the lesson studies. So that's all in place now. And I was thrilled that they accepted the whole list and said we can see all of these songs being of benefit to the study. And as you know, Jerry, music, laughter, humor, movement, all those things get into the right brain, the affective domain of the brain, and really affirm all that left brain knowledge that we're learning, and learning takes place in a deeper level that way.
Excellent. Now, you're working with women religious, which is, I assume, Catholic orders, but I notice you also work with a number of other denominations. You've appeared, for example, with the Quakers and the Unity Church and others. So what would you guess that of your work, what percentage of it has to do with working with congregations or denominations?
At this point, I would say that probably 50 to 60% of my work is with faith communities in some form. And yes, indeed, I just spent a week with Quakers at a national gathering, and that is a faith community near and dear to my own heart and beliefs. And a week with Vowed Women at a retreat center in Maryland working on climate change as well as in other environmental issues. And the universe story, as per Thomas Berry, Brian Swim, Mary Evelyn Tucker, and all those great other thinkers. And I find that working with a very diverse group of religious communities, that all of these groups have way more in common than they do have things to differentiate them. Indeed, this is there are many, many roads to the top of the mountain, and we can only really see the path, our own path, when we're traveling that path.
Now, I think you refer to that as eco-spirituality. Do you want to fill out that concept a little more for us?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I often tell people that when I'm working in schools and libraries, what I'm doing is environmental education through music and storytelling and fun and movement and nonsense. But whenever I'm doing it through faith communities, it's eco-spirituality, or another term I've heard is sacred ecology. And it's just, for me, a way of connecting the most current science with spirit and our deep spiritual beliefs in whatever our faith tradition is.
Well, now,
I think of you as an educator and as an entertainer. And so you work a lot with children in schools. I know you do artists in residence programs and that kind of thing. But I think some of our listeners will be glad to hear that you also have an advanced degree in science.
Yes, that's exactly right, Jerry. When I really got involved, when my path led me away from commercial music in the music industry in Nashville into this very deep leading of doing music for the earth and restoring God's creation or whatever verbiage we want to put to it, but basically songs for the earth and our home planet, I realized that if these songs were going to get wide distribution, that I really needed to have the science correct. So I applied for and was accepted into a program that was the first master's degree in earth literacy in the country. Now I think there are a number of those programs. But I received incredible training and education at a small college in Indiana called St. Mary of the Woods College. And with under the leadership of Dr. Sister Mary Lou Dolan, and she built a program over the years that pulled into place all of these different facets of earth science and geology and biological sciences, along with the latest environmental science and economics in this new study then at that time of environmental or sustainable economics, and also spirit as a deep spiritual and theological basis. Along with cultural understanding and the arts, it was really an incredible comprehensive program that changed my life. And so I could feel a little bit better about writing verses about aquatic life or ecosystems or the biota or the web of life, and know that, you know, I'd had refresher things in the sciences and my what I was putting into lyrics was accurate.
Excellent. Well, now I was a professional musician for some 25 years, so I have a lot of empathy for, you know, what you were doing. I'm interested in a couple of things. First of all, and I don't want this to sound too crass, but your business model, because I assume this is the way you pay the bills. And I notice that you sell CDs and MP3s on the internet, and now you have some collections of music on paper.
Oh, yes. Great. Well, you know, Jerry, I've been trying to figure out what this business model is for all 30 years I've been in the music business. And the sands shift so rapidly these days in anything that has to do with digital technology. And indeed, this is it's a very small little music ministry that I have and really would not be or is not self-supporting on its own. I am blessed to have a life partner and business partner, my husband of 38 years, who understands that this is a music ministry and supports me in ways that I wouldn't be able to with just the music ministry. Because we also, I have to be here as we raise about 60% of all of our food, and we produce about 60% of all of our electric power, our power needs via a wind turbine and solar panels and other solar devices. So it's really important to be active in your homestead to do that and be able to do that. Anybody, as a musician, you know just how much change there has been in the music world. It's getting harder and harder for middle-class musicians unless they have full-time teaching job to support themselves just with music, because we made a transformation from selling CDs for $15 to 99-cent downloads, and now it's gone to streaming, where I look at my royalty payments and what I used to get in digital downloads or in CD album sales now are added up as each stream or each play is 0.00021% of 1 cent, and there will be pages and pages of royalties that will add up to about $4. So for people who aren't in the music business, that might be a big surprise to them, but I'm always encouraging people to support your local musicians, who are often just as fine as the people you hear in the big stadiums or out on the road, and doing it on a local level. It's kind of like supporting local agriculture and local economy. Supporting your local artists and musicians is another really big chunk of sustainability, I think, and growing stronger communities, strengthening those bonds of community. And as our hero Pete Seeger used to say, whenever we sing together, we strengthen the bonds of community. So sing along with those local artists. And I really appreciate the support I have gotten from you and so many people now on 6 continents over the years who have purchased CDs and downloads. We do know that my CDs now play in schools and churches and homes and cars on 6 continents, because we have sent orders that many places. So we are really blessed in that respect.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, now I noticed that you have a clever little device that you call the Enchimama. It's a
Yes. Oh, boy, you are so observant. I can see you've spent some time looking around at my ever-growing website. It was actually chaplains who encouraged me to put all of my music, all of my sheet music, and my songbooks on one flash drive device, a USB that you can just put into your computer or a small MP3 player. Oftentimes the chaplains use an MP3 player. I've got a little music box that I carry that I make available when I do trade shows and such, that you just pop the flash drive into it and it plays all the songs in the catalog, and you can load it with your own favorites and playlists. And that way, these professionals and counselors and nurses and chaplains can move this little device with the music they feel is appropriate and healing from room to room in a hospital or in a nursing home, and not have to worry about setting up a speaker system or a stereo or carrying their computer with them. So we made this available at the request of chaplains so that they could just have everything in one handy little place instead of individually loading the CDs into their computer and arranging the song files that way.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, I noticed that you have about 10 CDs and a couple of singles on your website. And it's interesting that they cover a variety of subjects. So even though you're known as Earth Mama, you also are including in that not just typically environmental topics, but also a lot to do with human rights.
Yes. And as you notice, you probably saw the tagline on my materials also, which is helping heal the planet one song at a time. And after the first recordings of first all the principles of ecology, especially for kids and families and classrooms on the Around the World with Earth Mama CD, that healing expanded to human rights, and workers' rights and clean water for all. And after the first two CDs, it seemed like each one began to have kind of a theme. Under the Rainbow CD was really focused on peace, justice, and eco-justice. Magnificent Healing CD was really inspired by the idea of healing ourselves, our communities, and our earth. Because as we do our own inner work, we know how much healing there is to be done. And as we expand that, we see how much healing needs to be done in our communities, particularly in regard to racism and environmental racism, all of the isms we can go into, women's rights issues, everywhere in the world and in different increments of severity, but all of them being worth the effort to heal, and healing our waterways and our air systems, healing our neighborhoods, our communities that don't have a grocery store, our food deserts. All of these contribute to the degradation of the planet, to the degradation of the human spirit. And I'm just a believer that music is a way to reach people and lift these issues up and encourage them to sing about them, to listen, to feel and think a little deeper, Jerry.
I noticed on your calendar that you have this summer and fall between 3 and 5 engagements a month. And most of them appear to be on the East Coast. Is this typical?
I would say it probably is. I made a commitment a few years ago to fly as little as I have to because of the contribution or because of the production of CO2 and the amount of pollution that is so much higher in flying. I do fly when I have to, and I certainly do fly to engagements. Travel costs also make it harder for people to schedule me or book me for an engagement. So it's just a little bit easier for people in my region to book me and not have to worry about either the expense or the pollution aspect of that. I have some work coming up in Philadelphia area this next month, and I was so happy to be able to take the train to that engagement and not feel bad about a huge amount of pollution that I'm producing to get there. A piece of this ministry that both feeds it and is reflected by it is I can't remember when I first heard this saying that before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water, and after enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. Just before you called, I was hanging clothes outside because I haven't had a clothes dryer now for probably 12 or 14 years. And this is really doable for two people. I don't think I would have been able to do this if I had two or three or four small children. But I can do everything with a clothesline either outside or in my basement at this point in my life. And it's the same with travel. We're just always looking at ways to reduce our impact on the ecosystem with everything we do. And it becomes, with people I know in every faith community and every practice, just a part of their daily reflection and a way to say, okay, am I really walking my talk? Am I doing everything I need to do to do my best to be a part of the restoration of God's creation?
Well, now, you've used the expression ministry a number of times, and I think both you and I know what that means, but I don't find a lot of what you would call overtly Christian words or Christian symbolism in your music. You did one CD specifically about Christmas. Am I misreading this? Or when you speak of ministry, you're speaking quite generally, again, about mm-hmm. eco-spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Because I do not have a divinity degree or a ministerial degree, I consider what I do a music ministry in support of faith communities, and I have my own personal faith and belief system and practice. However, I'm also very, very conscious and careful about not interfering with anybody else's beliefs that they are led to. I am a follower of Jesus, but like Thomas Berry and Parker Palmer and some of my other mentors, I have become very careful about the words I use, because words can be words that are meaningful to me can actually be painful to someone else. So I try to be very nonspecific, but yet honoring all of the major world's religions and knowing that at the center of all that is love, loving our neighbor. And our neighbor is not just human beings. Our neighbors are those other millions of species on the planet that are also part of God's plan to be here. And for people who might be hurt by the use of the word God, because there are people who have been abused by that language at some point in their life, I often prefer to use the word divine mystery, or spirit, or the spirit of the universe, because I know that God is in all of that, or my sense is that God is in all of that. And for that reason, I just really try to be careful about not using words that seem that might hurt anyone's feelings, because I'm a respecter of other people's beliefs. Sometimes I believe that sometimes God leads us to believe different things for better purposes.
Well, thank you for those inspiring words, Joyce. I think we'll end there unless you have something else you'd like to add.
Jerry, could I share the link for my resources for this wonderful climate study that you mentioned
Please.
Earlier? If
Please.
You go to my website, which is www.earthmama.org, for organic, of course, you will find that there is a drop-down menu that says using Earth Mama's music. On the top forum there, use EM music. And under that, there is a page that says climate change songs. So they can find more information about this wonderful climate change study guide through the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. And while we're here, let me just give you their website so they can find the study easily. It is ipjc.org.
And that stands for IPJC, stands for?
Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center.
Wonderful. Well, I will also include those links and several others in the show notes for this episode.
Oh, great. Jerry, you ask such wonderful questions, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you and know that you have, for so much of your life, been on a path of using every single gift you have for healing of this amazing earth upon which we live.
Thank you so much, Joyce. It's been a pleasure reconnecting with you.
You've been listening to my conversation with singer-songwriter and echo educator Joyce Earthmama Rouse. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. Also share on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Hear about the change of focus for the Simple Living Works blog in episode 48 of this podcast and in recent blogs. I've had some encouraging response lately. Charles Kyle commented on a recent blog, "Gerald, I love your original cartoons. The guy or a gal in this post is someone my Spanish-speaking charismatic Catholic friends might call an alabare, fellow follower of the way, that is, from the Acts of the Apostles. Many thanks for your continuous inspirational posts." And he also said in regard to my recent blog, "So Much Help," "Thank you, Gerald, for so much help in finding enjoyment in a simple life. Charlie Kyle, Chicago. P.S. Your illustrations are a joy unto themselves." Thank you, Charlie. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview Backup and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to my weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same, and remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, then click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. If you're new to Simple Living Works podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, but not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Lockacre, and I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Simply live, learn to live simply, so others can live.